Today's sponsor, W Films. W Films is a full-service video production company located in Lewis, Delaware. Need help getting your message out on social media? How about creating a brand film for your company's website? W Films experts can help you create the perfect video and help you get the social media attention you've been looking for. W Films also specializes in marketing materials for real estate. They can provide cinematic video tour, HDR photography, and a fully immersive 360-degree tour to help your property get sold faster and for more money. To find out more, go to wfilmsmedia.com or call 302-569-0725. 302-569-0725. Everyone has a story. Let us tell yours. All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is March the 10th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's amazing wherever you are at. It is Friday, the end of the week. I thought I would sit down and see if we could do a podcast and sort of break down the week a little bit. Better week, that's for sure. This week has been a lot better. And that's good because I was having a rough time. Last few weeks have been a little rough. And what I realize is, for me at least, is sometimes I just have to go through some rough spells. Right? If I was going to, try to pinpoint the problem, it's usually inconvenience to me when I have big changes in my life and fear shows up just like clockwork, right? Just always fear and then just sort of living in it and moving through it, wallowing around in it. For me, it's like trying to figure out what is it that is creating the fear. Usually it's some sort of financial thing, but, you know, I don't know if I even shared about this, but what I've realized, sometimes it exposes some things that I fall short in. You know, if I have something going on that hides kind of where my character or shortcomings are, it allows them to continue and I don't have to address them. But then when things change, it becomes obvious there are some things I need to do. And that's usually part of my problem. For example, I think I've already probably shared this, but, you know, just having to address the salon. You go through the summer and part of the winter, and I mean, and I've shared, man, it's procrastination, laziness. These things have started to show back up in my life, and they always make me feel bad because I know I shouldn't be doing it. I know better, but I get sort of caught up in procrastination, and certain things allow me to continue to do that. But when the change happens, you know, it's clear to me what I've been doing and I need to address it. And so that's sort of what's been going on for me the last few weeks. Just some change. And, you know, just trying to figure it out. But I can tell you, you know, addressing some of the things I just mentioned, my procrastination, you know, getting into the salon and doing a bunch of work and getting the place straightened out and back in working order felt good. It relieved a lot of the anxiety and, you know, listen, if I'm having a bad day, more than likely tomorrow's going to be a little better. And that's sort of how this has worked, you know. It's gotten better every day. It's just if I choose to kind of stay in that negativeness, which I sometimes do, you know, that's a character defect of mine. Sometimes I like to wallow in the mud and splash it all over me and, you know, and then bitch that I'm uncomfortable. And that is not being productive as far as I'm concerned. But I've made it through, and things are getting better. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is that, you know, when I, you know, for me at an age of 54, you know, I work a program, I love being sober, but I've said this before, I don't know if I could have done this when I was 21, right, or 25. I think I came into the program the first time, I think I was 28, 29, and that was even tough, right? Because, you know, I think just naturally we mature, right? We experience it, and we learn from it, and we hopefully do it a little better the next time, or not. You know, I spent earlier on in my life, I would do a lot of dumb shit and then not learn from it and then do dumb shit over and over. as I've gotten older, you know, then I would just do dumb shit and then be like, I probably shouldn't do that again. And then luckily at the age I'm at today, you know, I hopefully can just avoid doing the dumb shit altogether. Kid in town. Well, that's how I felt when I got sober. I definitely felt like the new kid in town. And, you know, if you're new to getting sober or, you know, whatever. But one of the things that I noticed immediately was that I wasn't such a bad person, right? I had lived this life of consuming alcohol and drugs and behavior for so long that I just sort of felt like that was the person that I was. I just didn't think I could be a better person. But as soon as I started to remove, especially the alcohol, right? The alcohol and drugs. As soon as I removed the alcohol and the drugs out of my life, I became a lot better. And everybody noticed, right? And one of the cool things that happened to me when I first got sober is that I jumped into a lot of meetings and started doing all that. But I started to build up this relationship with a lot of people, and I started to make a lot of friends. And I know I've discussed this before, but I'll never forget going to the grocery store and running into somebody from a meeting. And, you know, it wasn't like I had to run over there and, hey man, aren't you the guy from the meeting? But, you know, just a handshake, you know, an anonymous nod, right, to just recognize, hey man, how's it going? But like, I never used to go to the grocery store and would see people that I know, right? It was always, I don't even know what I would see, but I wasn't running into new friends, right? And when I started getting sober and working a program and getting involved, I started to make a lot of acquaintances. Friends, I would pretty much say that anybody that I know from a program is probably a friend of mine. Doesn't mean that we do everything the same, but I think for the most part, we are headed in the same direction when it comes to using drugs and alcohol and trying to find some sobriety in our lives. I'm sure we're all working on our little things, right? But for the most part, you know, decent people. And I was so amazed that I started to have friends, right? And, you know, early on, they were all my friends. Over time, you pick and choose. You find out the ones that are serious. Figure out if I was even serious, right? I remember when I first came into the program, I thought, since I wasn't drinking and drugging, that I was doing amazing. I just felt so much better. And I feel like you kind of get this grace period when you first come in and you first put down the bottle and you first make an effort that you really, you know, and they do call it the pink cloud, where you just feel like everything is fantastic. Like life is just so much better. And it is, right? I mean, the week before that I got sober, I was drunk every day, fighting with the people upstairs, barely making it to work, crashing my car, hit my uncle's well head, which, you know, still a lot of shame in that. You know, it cost him a lot of money. You know, but I was living like a shithead. And the day that I didn't drink anymore, my life got better 10 times because all of my problems that I was suffering from prior to getting sober was just guilt and shame of being the person that I had become. And I think a lot of that is habit. You know, the guy that drank every day, I think was a habit. When I put a glass of vodka in my mouth, that chain reaction that takes place to me is something completely different. That is the alcoholism for me. If I have a drink, I can't stop. I didn't even have that same real issue when I was doing drugs. I mean, I could do drugs and then I could be fine. But when it comes to alcohol, I just can't stop. I mean, I'd literally be laying on the floor, drunk, unable to stand, and demanding that somebody gives me another drink. You know, last call, something. I need another drink. I need another one. Like, I can't even walk. And I felt like I needed another one. Never in my life have I experienced anything like that than I did when it came to alcohol. And that, to me, is the alcoholic, at least for me. When I drink, I cannot stop. Now, the choice to drink every day, I think, sort of became like I didn't really have anything to gain. I didn't really have anything to lose, so I just kind of went with it. You know, at the end of the day, you're like, geez, I don't want to drink, but what else do I do, right? And at that point in my life, my real entertainment was either hanging out with myself or hanging out in a bar. Or hanging out down in Dewey in bars, right? And when you're cutting that out of your life or trying to, you don't have a lot of options of things that are to do that are fun, right? Like, geez, I could go play pickleball or drink vodka. Well, I didn't play pickleball, so vodka ended up being the option for that night. And this just happened over and over and over. And, you know, I've shared, you know, a lot about this demon, the devil, this lower power that lives in my life that's constantly talking to me. And, you know, I'm so aware of it now that, you know, part of me is like, are you going crazy? Is this just some crazy voice in your head? I don't think it is. I think it's real. And you know, when it would come to that moment where I'd be like, I don't want to drink tonight. You know, I just fucking went through the whole day of being hungover, swearing to myself up and down that I'm not going to drink tonight. I finally get off work. I get free from, you know, my responsibilities, and it's up to me to what I do next. And I just didn't have a lot of other options. So I'm like, well, I might as well. And it would always be like, well, we're just not going to drink vodka. We'll drink some beer. We'll call it an easy night. We'll drink a few beers, watch some TV, go to bed early, get a nice fresh start tomorrow. That's what the reasoning was in my head. That's what the voice was telling me that would work. And man, I'd get a few beers in me and then I'd be like, why are you drinking beer? Right? I would change, right? The gates of hell would open up and that fucking demon would come out and he'd be like, why are we fucking drinking beer? Let's drink vodka. And then the vodka would start. And then it would repeat, rinse and repeat over and over. And just hopefully, unfortunately, you know, I hope it wouldn't happen, but unfortunately, littered in those days would be dramatic moments, whether it was a fight, a car crash, getting arrested, doing drugs. You know, it was always something. It never was a smooth night. And so I just lived in this agony. And so when I put down that fucking drink for the first time, I was like, holy cow, I feel terrific. That's crazy, right? I didn't know how to handle that, right? You know, I didn't know what I was experiencing. You know, they call it the pink cloud. The problem is the pink cloud fades, right? And, you know, hopefully we get a few roots in a meeting or a home group. And, you know, we're starting to try to figure out how to unwind all this twisted mess that somehow we ended up in or I ended up in. And you hope that you can do that before the pink cloud fades, because when it starts to fade, all the thoughts come back. At least they did for me. Why am I doing this? Drinking was better. This isn't any better than what I was doing. You know, unfortunately for me, the motivation for getting sober wasn't because I wanted to be healthier. I wanted to find serenity. You know, I probably wanted to upgrade my women, right? Drinking like I did, behaving like I did. There's only a few people that run in that crowd. And they're all pretty much bottom of the barrel, just like myself. And you know, I was always like, gosh, you're better than this, right? How come you can't find a relationship with a person that's decent, right? What's the matter with these people? And the problem was me, right? The problem was me. But the fact is that my motivation to get sober probably wasn't because I just wanted to be a better person. It's probably because I wanted to meet better chicks, right? I probably wanted to get a job that made more money, you know, more things that serve self. And I had a lot of trouble with that. I mean, I stayed sober for a while. I was definitely sober for a while, but it didn't take much, right? And, you know, I always tell people the reason we do this program, the reason I do this program and work so hard at it is because there will be a time where that voice starts to come back, right? It starts to creep back into my life. And, man, you know, I shared before, it was something so simple. And the worst part is I agree, right? That meeting I was going to in Easton, I didn't like the way they collected the money. I don't like the way they're collecting the money, Tom. I don't either. Like, we agreed on it. Me and that devil's voice. We agreed that we didn't like it. And so we both left, right? Swore to never be back, right? The devil suggested it. I agreed, and off we went. And it can be that cunning, right? That baffling. Like, oh my God, how did that even happen? Right? It's because I didn't have a great foundation in this program. Or I was here as a victim of alcoholism. And when I'm a victim, I've said this before, when I'm a victim, that means I have to do it. And when I have to do it, I do it half-ass. It's just that way. And until I had that real shift in that mental and spiritual shift to realize, this is a gift, man. You get to get this. You're lucky. You don't realize it, but you're lucky, and you get to get sober. You don't have to. You can absolutely live in a fucking box under a bridge for the rest of your life, and nobody would give a fuck. So you don't have to get sober. You get to. And when that shift happened in my life, I started to become aware, right, of this voice. And it's crazy. I believe in alcoholism. I believe in alcoholics. But I also really believe that it's a spiritual anomaly, right? It's a spiritual flaw in me that allows this demon to fucking whittle its way into my life. I don't know if this happens to everybody. You know, I do another podcast, the Discovery Music Podcast. And part of my chore in this podcast is that we try to find new music. And I found this guy, his name is Ren. And he put out this song called Hi Ren. And it's insane. It is crazy because it's him having a conversation with his subconscious. And so that's the other thing. What do we call this voice, right? Our conscience, our subconscious, our lower power, the devil, self, ego, pride. There's a lot of different names that we've come up with for this voice. And, you know, this guy, Ren, does a song called Hi Ren, and it's him having a conversation with his subconscious. And it's crazy. And in the middle of the song, he talks about the relationship that we have with this serpent, right? This devil that's in our lives. I mean, it's the basis from all beginning. If you believe in that stuff, right? If you believe in, you know, Genesis and the beginning of life with Adam and Eve and the snake and the apple and, you know, the whole thing started off with those three entities, and it still continues on today. But we don't call it, you know, we don't call it the serpent or the subconscious or the lower power. It's hard to figure out. When we say the devil, it gets real uncomfortable, right? It's very uncomfortable. And so, but all of a sudden I start realizing this, and I start to realize this is what got you in Easton, right? This is real. And it just doesn't happen to me when it comes to recovery, right? For some reason, this disease wants me to not find success. It doesn't want me to try new things. It wants me to live in the fear of failure. And I'd become used to it, right? I'd become used to it. How else can you explain where I got to? Because part of the reason is I had no idea, right? I just had no idea. And I remember as a kid, and I've shared this, you know, when we used to go out for, like, I remember going to a pizza party. I don't know if it was a birthday or soccer. And I was the guy that got the first piece of pizza, but that was always looking to make sure, counting the people, making sure that I could still get that second piece. I hadn't even had one bite of the first, and I was already consumed by the second piece, right? That's a self-centered person. That is a person, you know, where today I'd be like, listen, I can cut this one piece in half if we don't have enough, right? I'm more of a humble position. I want other people to have stuff. I am not the most important. 80% of the time, like, I'm not perfect at that, but that's the example that I would say is that, you know, today I'm like, or when it comes to my kids, you know, everybody eats first. I if anything's left, I'll eat, right? I can always find something in the refrigerator. I can make a sandwich. I could do something. You know, if we order pizzas and the kids have eaten and everybody's good, then I'll go ahead and I'll eat. You know, maybe I'll have one piece, but I make sure everybody's eaten, you know, a couple pieces before I would have a second piece. When I was a kid, no. I'd speed up eating the first piece so that I made sure I got that second piece. I think that transition naturally happens with maturity in life. You know, I do think we start off very self-centered, right? I think it's a survival thing. And I think over time we transition to a more humble life as long as we don't get hung up on something like alcohol and drugs and money and women or men or whatever it is that we like. And, you know, if one of these things start to come into our life, maybe that needle starts transitioning from self to more of a humble lifestyle. We sort of get stuck. That's when we sort of become like a character. And that's, you know, that's what this week to me has really been about. It's about character, building character, not becoming a character, my life as a character, recognizing, you know, what it is that I did in my life that made me become a character, realizing what are the things that I do in my life today so I'm not a character, right? Like, I don't want to stand out, right? I don't want to stand out with a crazy hat, right? Or a wide open shirt or some fancy shoes or no shoes at all, right? I remember there was a person that, you know, and this was a great person, she's gone now, unfortunately, but, you know, she was an awesome person, but in her awesomeness, she sort of became a character, right? There was a period where she didn't think she needed to wear shoes, and so she was that person that didn't wear shoes, right? And I guess trying to figure out when you're going to draw that line in the sand, like, listen, I don't have to wear shoes. You don't, right? When does it become, when you make such a point of it, that you become that character that doesn't wear shoes, right? And so you can still, even without alcohol, even without the drugs, we can still become a character. Even when we're trying to live a life of serenity and you know, do the next right thing and be there for people and you know, be there for the next alcoholic, we can still sort of become a character. And understanding that, realizing it, I never realized it. Right, I made a shirt once that said, "We're building character, not characters." Right, and I was really thinking about, you know, my children as I raise my kids. I really don't want to raise a bunch of characters. I don't know if anybody watched that McCall, the court case of the attorney that just was found guilty. You know, that was a cast of characters, right? The whole family was a bunch of characters. The kids were characters. The dad was a character. I didn't really follow much of it. I just happened to watch one episode of it on 48 Hours. But yeah, it was a cast of characters. You know, it's like when you live a life of self, you become a character, you know. And, you know, like I said, we see it with people that don't want to wear their shoes or they want to wear or just how they introduce themselves. You know, I know people that are in meetings that have a whole introduction to themselves, which is fine. It's important. You know, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. If I say that every time I go to a meeting, I'm now starting to become a character. I'm that guy that says that. And maybe that's okay. Maybe we can be slightly a character, but, you know, what's behind it, right? What is, you know, when I say that, I sort of want people to realize that maybe we're all self-centered assholes with a deficiency in humility, right? If I say it out loud enough, maybe more people will believe that. Maybe this isn't just a disease of drinking, right? Which is what I thought it was. I thought I drank too much vodka. I had no idea that I was a character, right? And my lack of character made me one. It's very interesting. But this guy ran, right? I'm sorry. I'm a little bit all over the place. I really want to do this podcast. But I found this guy ran, and I was watching YouTube last night, and there were some guys doing some reactionary videos to this guy. And the song, I'm going to play the song. It's an 8-minute song. I'm going to finish the show, this podcast with it. Bear with it. It's a little bizarre. It's art. And if you get a chance, go find the video on YouTube. It's called Hiran, H I R-E-N. Hi, Ren. And the video is amazing. But he sits there and he's playing guitar. He does all the singing, all the guitar, and he's having this conversation with his subconscious. And it, you know, it almost made me cry. I could relate, right? Because, you know, there's been times in my life where I'm afraid or I'm, you know, feeling great. And this subconscious voice inside my head is like, you know, you got lucky, right? Or I don't even know why you're here. Or it's always something that keeps me from really rejoicing, from moving forward in my life, and or attempts of moving forward. Like when I wanted to start running and give up cigarettes, you know, there was this subconscious voice that's like, you know, I like smoking, right? You can't run. How are you going to be a smoker for this long and now run, right? It's never where like a parent is like, go for it, man. You should. You don't do this. Go be awesome. Put those cigarettes down. Go for a run. Just try it. Run 10 feet. Walk the rest. Whatever it is. That's not the voice that's in my head. And this conversation that he has, it just, it hits home. And then at the end of the song, he talks about identifying who the subconscious is, which is in his song, it's like Lucifer. It's, you know, he talks about Adam and Eve and the serpent and temptation. He goes, I am temptation. And it really just, and I don't, maybe this is Google, maybe this is YouTube listening to me talk about this, but this whole lower power, evil devil in my life that I've just really never paid attention to, I've just allowed to have space in my head for so long, I'm starting to understand. And now I'm starting to hear other people start to talk about the same thing, which is, which really blows me away. Let me see if I can read a quick daily reflections, and I'm going to play the song, and it's called Hi Ran, and it's a rap song. And I think the guy, he's from England or Ireland. I don't know. He's got an accent, but I just think it's really great. And like I said, it starts off a little silly, but when he speaks in this voice, that's subconscious. When he speaks in the mellow, chill voice, that's him talking to subconscious. So yeah, you have to let me know what you think. Let's see here. Daily reflections. Oops. Daily reflections. I'm going to a meeting tonight. All right. Today, it's my choice, March 10th. We invariably find that at some point in the past, we have made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. With the realization and acceptance that I had played a part in the way my life had turned out, came a dramatic change in my outlook. It was at this point that the AA program began to work for me. In the past, I had always blamed others, either God or other people, for my circumstances. I felt that I had a choice in altering my life. My decision had been based on fear, pride, or ego. As a result, those decisions led me down a path of self-destruction. Today, I try to allow my God to guide me on the road to sanity. I am responsible for my actions or inactions, whatever the consequences may be. Yeah, that's very good. Go back and read that, March 10th. So, yeah, I'm going to play this song. I hope everybody has a great day. The song is called, Hi Ren, and the artist is Ren, and it's about 8 minutes, and he actually does some talking at the end. Think of it less as a song or as an art piece, I think. But here it is. Have a great day. Later. Thank you.
happened a little while.
Did you miss me? You thought you buried me, didn't you? Risky, cause I always come back. Deep down you know that. Deep down you know I'm always in periphery. Rant on, you're pleased to see me. It's been weeks since we spoke, bro. I know you need me. You're the sheep, I'm the shepherd. Not your place to lead me. Not your place to be batting off the hand that feeds me.
Hi, Brent. I've been taking some time to be distant. I've been taking some time to be still. I've been taking some time to be by myself since my therapist told me I'm ill. And I've been making some progress lately, and I've learned some new coping skills. So I haven't really needed you much, man. I think we need to just step back and chill.
Ren, you sound more insane than I do. You think that those doctors are really there to guide you? You've been through this a million times. Your civilian mind is so perfect to always being lied to. Okay, take another pill, boy. Drown yourself in the sound of white noise. Follow this 10-step program, rejoice. All your problems will be gone. Fucking dumb boy.
Nah, mate. This time is different, man, trust me. I feel like things might be falling in place. And my music's been kinda doing bits too. Like I actually might do something great. And when I'm gone, maybe I'll be remembered for doing something special with myself. That's why I don't think that we should talk, man. Cause when you're with me, it never seems to help.
You think that you can amputate me? I am you, you are me, you are I am we are one. Split in two, that makes one, so you see. You gotta kill you if you wanna kill me. I'm not leftover dinner, I'm not scraps on the side. Oh, your music is thriving, delusional guy. Where's your top 10 hit? Where's your interview with Oprah? Where are your Grammys, Ren? Nowhere.
Yeah, but my music's not commercial like that. I never chase numbers, statistics or stats. I never write hooks for the radio, they never even play me. So why would I concern myself with that? But my music is really connecting, and the people who find it, respect it. And for me, that's enough, cause this life's been tough. So it gives me a purpose I can rest in.
Man, you sound so pretentious. Ren, your music is so self-centered. No one wants to hear another song about how much you hate yourself. Trust me. You should be so lucky, having me inside you to guide you, remind you, to manage expectations, provide you perspective. That thing you neglected, I get it. You wanna be a big deal, next Jimi Hendrix, forget it.
Man, it's not like that.
Man, it's just like that, I'm inside you, you twat.
No, it's not, man, you're wrong, when I write, I belong.
Let me break the fourth wall by acknowledging this song. Ren sits down, has a stroke of genius. He wants to write a song that was not done previous. A battle with his subconscious, Eminem did it.
Played on guitar,
Plan B did it.
Man, you're not original, you criminal rip-off artist. The pinnacle of your success is stealing other people material.
Ren, mate, we've heard it all before.
She sells seashells on the seashore.
Fuck you, I don't need you, I don't need to hear this. Cause I'm fine by myself, I'm a genius. And I will be great, and I will make waves. And I'll shake up the whole world beneath us.
That's right, speak your truth, your fucking god complex leaks out of you. It's refreshing to ask for you, say it instead of downplay it.
Music is all about the creative process, and if people can find something to relate to within that, then that's just a bonus.
Fuck you, I'ma fucking kill you, Ren.
Well, fucking kill me then, let's fucking have you, Ren.
I'ma do it, watch me prove it. Who are you to doubt my music? Cause I call the shots, I choose if you die. Yeah, I call the shots, and so I choose who survives. I'll tie you up in knots when I lock you inside.
Newsflash. I was created at the dawn of creation. I am temptation. I am the snake in Eden. I am the reason for treason, beheading all kings. I am sin with no rhyme or reason. Son of the morning, Lucifer, Antichrist, father of lies. Mephistopheles, truth in a blender, deceitful pretender, the banished avenger, the righteous surrender when standing in front of my solar eclipse. My name is stitched to your lips, so you see, I won't bow to the will of a mortal, feeble and normal. You wanna kill me? I'm eternal and mortal. I live in every decision that catalyzes chaos that causes division. I live inside death, the beginning of end. I am you, you are me, I am you, friend.
Hi, Ren. I've been taking some time to be distant. I've been taking some time to be still. I've been taking some time to be by myself, and I've spent half my life ill. But just as sure as the tide starts turning, just as sure as the night has dawned, just as sure as the rainfall soon runs dry when you stand in an eye of a storm, I was made to be tested and twisted. I was made to be broken and beat. I was made by his hand, it's all part of his plan that I stand on my own two feet. And you know me, my will is eternal. And you know me, you've met me before. Face to face with a beast, I will rise from the east and I'll settle on the ocean floor. And I go by many names also. Some people know me as hope. Some people know me as the voice that you hear when you loosen the noose on the rope. And you know how I know that I'll prosper? Cause I stand here beside you today. I have stood in the flames that cremated my brain, and I didn't once flinch or shake. So coward the man I've become, when I sing from the top of my lungs, that I won't retire, I'll stand in your fire, inspire that me to be strong. And when I am gone, I will rise in the music that I left behind. Ferocious, persistent, immortal like you, Iroquois mint in different size.